Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm nearing the end of a series that I've been on for 2 weeks talking about killing sacred cows. And I've actually rushed through this series because all of these points that I'm talking about, I'm calling religious doctrine sacred cows, and we just need to kill them. We need to eliminate them because Jesus said in Mark chapter 7, verse 13, that traditions and doctrines of man make the word of no effect. And so I've been attacking these, but I haven't gone into great depth on any one. I've just been kind of like touching the top of an iceberg. If you want more information or detailed explanation, then I've got companion teachings that we've been offering. I mean, we have offered dozens of product in just the last week or so. And tomorrow is going to be my last day to teach on this five-part teaching entitled Killing Sacred Cows. I'll only devote 2 days to the subject here today. So all of that to say that you need to get those materials that we're offering. Tomorrow will be the last day we make these offers over the television. So please go to the effort of writing down the number or calling immediately and getting these materials, because I believe that they'll change your life. I tell you, these are some powerful things that we're saying. They've changed my life. This is literally kind of the core of many of the things in my life that have just separated me from the grief and the sorrow and the sickness and the poverty and the hurt and the pain that I used to experience. And as I minister to other people, I see that these are the hot issues. These are the main issues that make the word of none effect. So we've already talked about four other things. Today, what I want to do is just start talking about the authority that God gave us as believers. And those of you who are familiar with my ministry know that I came out with a brand new book recently. I think it was in the springtime, entitled The Authority of the Believer. We have a companion study guide. We have CDs and all of these things. And this is probably the most requested teaching that we've ever given. People really received. So for some of you, this will be somewhat of a review. But I just, when I was attacking sacred cows, religious doctrines that make the word of no effect, I just couldn't avoid dealing with this issue, because as a whole, the body of Christ does not teach that the believer has the authority to control things in their life. They basically teach that God is sovereign and controls these things, and we just go to Him and petition and beg and plead, and it's up to God however He feels. The truth is very far removed from that. The truth is that God has already purchased everything that we need for total, absolute victory. He's already purchased our healing and placed the same power on the inside of us that raised Christ from the dead, Ephesians 1:19. He has already blessed us with all spiritual blessings, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Everything that pertains unto life and godliness has already been purchased and is there. We just have to know what is ours, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. It's already done. God has already done everything. And if you aren't seeing the victory in your life that the Scriptures promise you, it's not because God hasn't given. It basically comes down to that we haven't taken our authority and resisted the devil and made him flee from us. A Scripture that I've already used in this series is James chapter 4, verse 7, where it says, "Submit yourselves therefore unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." The word resist means to actively fight against. There's not very many Christians that are actively fighting against these things because, again, they don't believe that we have that kind of power and authority. They see themselves as powerless, and they go to God as, "Oh, God, the doctor says I'm going to die, and, oh, God, there's nothing I can do. There's no treatment." They've expended all of the medical treatments and the chemotherapy or whatever, and, oh, God, and they come crying and begging, and, "Oh, God, there's nothing I can do." A person who approaches God that way does not understand that they have been given the same power that raised Christ from the dead and the authority to use that power. They're coming as if they're powerless. You know, I recently had a woman come to me, And she was exactly the way I was just describing. She was crying, and I've done everything. I can't do anything. Would you please pray for me? And I said, now wait, you can do something. The Bible says, and I quoted James 4:7, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. She says, oh, I've done that. And nothing happened. Didn't work. And I said, excuse me. I said, the Bible says, you resist the devil, he will flee from you. Oh no, I did that and it didn't work. She says, I'm powerless. I can't do anything. Maybe you could do. And I said, I'm not accepting this responsibility. I said, you are telling me that the Bible doesn't work. You're telling me that the scripture that says resist the devil and he'll flee doesn't work. And so you don't believe the Bible, but now you're wanting me to come and resist the devil and you think maybe it'll work for me. I said, I'm not going to pray for you. You don't believe the word. You don't believe the promises of God. I'm not magic. I don't have any power and authority that she as a believer didn't have. The only difference was I believe the power that I have. And anyway, I refused to pray for this lady. She got really kind of upset over it. But really, stop and think about this. She comes and says, oh, the Bible doesn't work. She wouldn't have ever said it in that way, but the Bible doesn't work. Would you see if it'll work for you? Boy, there's no point in getting prayer for that. You know, I was just reading Oral Roberts' book on Seed Faith 2000, and he gave an example in there about... Man, I just went blank on the guy's name, but the guy in England that had the orphanage and fed 2,000 people, I just went blank. I know this very well. But anyway, most of you or many of you know who I'm talking about. And anyway, this guy was coming to the United States, and this is back long time ago. And he was on a ship, George Mueller. Thank you very much, Karen. You are a blessing. George Mueller was the guy's name. And he was on a ship coming across to the United States to raise funds for his orphanage. And while he was in transit across the Atlantic, they ran into a storm. And he was in his cabin. And the captain of the ship came and knocked on his door. And he said, Mr. Mueller, I'm sorry, but we're going to be sinking here in the next 20 or 30 minutes. And he says, I'm sorry. You come over here for your orphanage. And he says, I apologize, but it says we just can't handle it. We're going to die. And George Mueller says, I'm not going to die. God told me to come over here and do these things, and I am not going to die. And he says, we will survive this. This ship's not going down. And the captain says, well, here, would you please pray with me then? And he says, no, I'm not going to pray with you because you believe we're going down in 30 minutes. He says, I'm not joining my faith with yours. He says, you just go back and run the ship. He says, I'll keep believing. And of course, he lived through it. And in a sense, that's what I was describing about this woman. This woman's saying, well, it doesn't work if you resist the devil. We have no power. Would you please do something? I'm not going to pray with a person like that. I'm not going to put myself in agreement. You have to believe that you have power and authority. And I couldn't tell you how many people I talked to that they express it differently, but they're basically saying, we can't do anything. Would you please do something? You've already lost the battle. You have already advocated your authority. You are approaching God as if you're a nobody. And yet the truth is you are the king and you are the priest. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And you just aren't accepting that responsibility. You know, let me use this verse over in 1 John chapter 5. And let me relate to you a story that back when I first got really started in the ministry... I started pastoring a little church in Sigaville, Texas, just outside of Dallas. And there was only like 5 or 10 people in this church. And this is back when Jamie and I had just first gotten married. We got married October 27th, 1972. And this is around the early part of 1973. We were in Sigaville ministering, and we stayed there for 2 years. During that period of time, Jamie got pregnant with our first son. And we were having to come up with $600 to pay all of the cost for his delivery at the hospital. And this is back during our poverty days, and we didn't have $600. And we were only about 2 or 3 weeks away from his due date, and we didn't have the money. And I mean, pressure was on me, and I just felt like we failed. We tried. We believe the word. I'm doing what I know to do, and it didn't work. And I actually felt like a failure, and I was just ready to give up. And so I went, we were meeting in homes, and I went over to some people's home. There was about five or six of us there. I was the pastor. And I told them, I said, people, I just need help. I said, I'm discouraged. We need finances for Joshua's birth. We don't have it. And I said, I don't feel like ministering. I need to be ministered to. And I said, you pray for me. You minister. You do something. I'm not ready. I'm not able to minister to anybody. And they just looked at me as, oh, you're the pastor. You're always great. And they just forgot it. And I said, no, I'm serious. I can't minister. And they weren't going to minister. So we just sat there and looked at each other. And so finally, the lady that we were in her home, she turned on the 700 Club. And Kenneth Copeland was the guest host on the 700 Club. And he was reading out of this verse in 1 John chapter 5, that verse 4, that says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And when he read that, I thought, yes, Kenneth, I've preached on this exact scripture, and I know that this is what the Bible says, but I believed and it didn't work. And I thought this to myself. I didn't say it out loud. Those are not the kind of things you say out loud, but that's exactly what I thought when he read this. I thought, you know, I've tried this and it didn't work. And he just looked right in the camera and he says, don't tell me this doesn't work. This says that this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. If you aren't overcoming, you aren't believing God. And I, in my mind again, I said, I am believing God. I'm trying to believe God, but it's not working. And he just came right back. It is too working. Don't you say it's not working. And every thought I had, they were all negative and they were all thoughts of unbelief. It was just like he was reading my mail, like he could hear what I was thinking. And every thought I had to the contrary, he just came back as, don't give me that. You don't have to try it. Just do it. Quit trying. Start doing it. And every thought I had, and I mean for 15 or 20 minutes, it's just like he just knew everything. And he was dressing me down and telling me things. And you know what this did? All of a sudden, faith rose up on the inside of me. And I said, bless God, you know what? Joshua's not born yet. It's not over till it's over. And I said, I'm not quitting. I'm not giving up. And I started believing again. And what I started doing in the context of this teaching is I started taking my power and authority as a Christian. And instead of going to God and griping and complaining and talking about how hard it was, and oh God, I tried, but it's not working. Would you please help me? I know that there's lots of you watching this program that's exactly the way you pray. That's exactly how you feel. I'm just telling you, it's not going to get you the answer. You have to stand up and recognize that God has given you power and the authority to use that power. And you have to stand up and you have to get angry and start fighting and resisting and take your authority and make what God has already purchased by grace come to pass by you taking your faith and authority and using it. And so that's exactly what I began to do. And I went home that night fired up. And I began a 4-day fast, and not to make God do something, but to get me out of my unbelief and back into faith. And anyway, on the 4th day is the day that Joshua was born. He came at like 5 o'clock in the morning. And you know what? When we checked in, we had had a miracle happen. In those 4 days, we had had $600 come in. And some of you may think that's not a lot of money. But back in those days, my total income, the first 12 months we were married, was $1,253. The second year, which this would have been into the second year, my total income was $2,500. And $600 of that $2,500 came in during those 4 days when I was taking my authority. And when we went to the hospital, praise God, I had that $600 to be able to gain admission and to have Joshua delivered in the hospital. And did you know, when I got out, it was early in the morning, 8 or 9, and we'd been up most of the night, and I was getting ready to go back to the house, and I didn't have enough gas to get home. And I had just seen the Lord come through, and we paid the $600, but I didn't have a penny. I didn't have anything left. My car was on empty. Now, I don't recommend you do this. Don't anybody go out here and do what I did unless God speaks to you. But I wouldn't recommend this, but desperate times call for desperate measures. And you know what? I was on my way home and I realized I was going to run out of gas. And I pulled into a service station and I sat there for a while and I prayed. And I just felt like God told me to go ahead and fill up my gas tank. I didn't have a credit card. I didn't have any money. And I didn't know what was going to happen. I wasn't going to steal it. I wasn't going to just fill it up and then drive off and hope that they wouldn't catch me. I was just going to face the music. I was going to have them get on my case, put me in jail, do whatever. I didn't know what was going to happen, but I just knew I had to have gas, and I felt like God told me to fill up my gas tank. So I went around and started filling it up with no way to pay for it. And a man walked out, and it turned out it was a guy that was in a Bible study I'd been to. And he says, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Oh, my son, my first son was just born this morning." And he said, "Oh, that's wonderful." He says, "Let me buy this tank of gas for you." Praise God, I got a tank of gas. It was a miracle. And I went home rejoicing. And I know that in some ways those are small. But, you know, I just bought a $4 million piece of property. And if I hadn't have been able to trust God for that $600 for my son to be born, if I hadn't have trusted God and have followed what I felt He told me to do for that gas, and if it hadn't have been for those small things, I wouldn't have had the faith to believe for this $4 million piece of property. I wouldn't have had the faith to believe for this $12 or $15 million complex that we've got. You know what? It comes in stages. And when I took my authority and started believing God instead of griping and complaining and approaching Him as if I'm totally powerless and, "Oh God, I can do nothing. Would You please have mercy on me and have pity on me?" When I quit approaching God that way and when I took my power and authority, I started seeing results. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, that this is exactly the reason that many of you aren't seeing results is because you have not understood the power and the authority. As a whole, there is a religious teaching that we have nothing. We can do nothing. And you know what? Let me use this verse out of John chapter 15. This is Jesus speaking, and He said in verse 4, "Abide in Me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in Me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in Me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without Me you can do nothing." And this last phrase has been taken and amplified, and there are churches all around the world that are saying, "You are nothing, you can do nothing, you have nothing, you are a zero with the rim knocked off." And they will take scriptures like this, that without Me you can do nothing. And you know what? I absolutely agree with that. If you are just going to look at me without the born-again part of me, if you're going to look at me in my own natural human ability, I am nothing and I can do nothing. Without Him, I can do nothing. I agree with that 100%. But what I am trying to get across is you aren't without Him. He said He would never leave you nor forsake you. And when you get born again, you become a brand new creature. One translation says a brand new species of being that never existed before, 2 Corinthians 5:17. And you now have the power of God living on the inside of you. And so for you to embrace this religious concept that, "Oh, I am nothing, I have nothing, I can do nothing. Lord, please have mercy on me. Pretty please, if You would," you beg and you plead. That kind of attitude will cause you to die. That kind of attitude will cause you to stay poor. That kind of attitude will cause your marriage to fail and your business to fail. You will never see the power of God manifest through you unless you begin to recognize that you are now a new creature. God gave you His power, and not only do you have the power, you have the authority to execute that power. Now that is important that you understand this, and you've got to get the attitude of, "I am a world overcomer. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And I have faith in Jesus, and I am now a new creature, and I am a world overcomer, and I am not going to let this thing defeat me." Not in your own strength. I'm not talking about you just getting stubborn. I'm talking about you recognizing who you are and what you have. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27 says, "Christ in us, the hope of glory." People pray like God's way out there, and, "Oh God, would You please come down? Would You touch me? Would You stretch forth Your hand? We say things like, well, that prayer didn't get above the ceiling. You don't need your prayer to get above your nose, because God lives right here on the inside of you. That's why you bow your head when you pray, so you can look at God. He's here. If you could understand that you have the power, you have the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead living on the inside of you, and that's more than enough power to heal cancer, our diabetes, our heart problems. Those things are nothing compared to raising a person from the dead who had been dead for 3 days. The power of God that raised Jesus from the dead is on the inside of you, and if you aren't acknowledging it, then it won't work for you. Philemon chapter 1, verse 6, Paul prayed a prayer, and he prayed for Philemon and said, I pray that the communication of your faith would become effectual. That means it would begin to work by acknowledging the good things that are on the inside of you. Your faith works by acknowledging what you have. The vast majority of born-again Christians do not know who they are, what they have. They do not understand the power and the authority that has been given unto us. And so we're approaching God as a beggar. Oh, God, I can do nothing, but you can do all things. Would you please touch me? Well, it's true that by yourself, you can do nothing, but you aren't by yourself. And you now have the power of God, and you got to get rid of this thinking where you can do nothing and you just have to beg God. You need to recognize God has given you power that makes the devil tremble. What's on the inside of you is vastly superior to the power and the authority that the devil has. No demon can stop you. There is no power that can stop you. If you are born again, if you are pursuing something that is God's will, you have the power and the authority to make it come to pass. And if you aren't succeeding, it's not God who has failed. It's you that's failed to take your power and exercise the authority that you have to use that power. And just like I was watching that television program and I was saying, yeah, but I'm telling you, some of you are saying, well, I've tried that, but you don't try it. You just do it. Well, I meant this, but no, you just do it. Well, I'd like to, but you don't understand. No, you don't understand. You don't understand the power and the authority. There are no exceptions to this. God has made you the head and not the tail. He's put Himself on the inside of you, and I'm trying to stir you up or you're going to sink to the bottom. You have to stir yourself up and get built up in faith and recognize that, Satan, you can't do this to me. I refuse to allow my house to be repossessed, my car to be repossessed. I refuse to allow my family to fall apart, my children to go the way they're going. I refuse to allow failure and defeat. I refuse to allow sickness in my body. Not in your own self. I in myself can't heal a gnat. But I am not in myself. I am in Christ Jesus. And I now have His power and authority. And praise God, I believe it and I exercise it. And because of that, I'm getting supernatural results. Praise God. I hope I stirred you up. I hope I provoked some of you to action today. You have the power. You just need to use it. Tomorrow's going to be my last day to deal with this. Tomorrow will be our last day for the entire album entitled Killing Sacred Cows. So listen as our announcer gives you that information and call or write today.
Andrew's complete teaching titled Killing Sacred Cows was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD, or you can get a DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Request item T1063C for the CD, T3207D for the live DVD, or T1063D for the As Seen on TV DVD when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The fifth teaching in the Killing Sacred Cows series titled You Have the Power is available on CD for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will send this fifth CD free of charge when you write or call. Request item TK161C. On today's program, Andrew mentioned his teaching titled, The Believer's Authority. This product is available on CD for a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1045C. To write us, use the address on your screen. If you prefer, you can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries Canada. That address is on your screen. The generous gifts of our friends and partners help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd also like to remind you that Andrew's latest book, titled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith, is available in hardback for a gift of any amount. Request book T228.
I know that many of you, as you watch these programs, are just having the Spirit of God rise up on the inside of you, and you're saying, yes, amen. And you know, I'm trying to get this word out to as many people as we possibly can. We are literally reaching around the world. We have 2.2 billion people who could get my program. Now, of course, not all of those watch, and it's not convenient times for all of those people, and so we need more broadcasts, multiple broadcasts on the same networks, the same station. And it just costs a lot of money to reach all the way around the world with television. So I'd like to ask those of you who are in agreement, who are being blessed by this, who would like to hear this being said all over the world, please help us take this message around the world. So call that number that you see on your screen and become a partner today.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Phoenix, Arizona for a Gospel Truth Seminar December 31st through January 2nd. He'll also be in Orlando, Florida for a Gospel Truth Seminar February 4th through the 6th.
I'd like to give you a special invitation to join me on December the 31st. That's, of course, New Year's Eve through January the 2nd. We're going to be back at the Biltmore Resort in Phoenix, Arizona. This is going to be a special time. I've got a special announcement to share with you. This will be my first time to share it publicly. And I tell you, if at all possible, I'd encourage you to come and be with us. Also, Charlie and Jill LeBlanc will be there with a live band. It's going to be a great time. Last year, we had over 1,000 people. We're expecting more this year. Plus, you get a special rate at the Biltmore, a reduced price of $139 per room, and they normally start around $300 up to $1,000. And that price is good for 3 days before or 3 days after. So come join us for our Phoenix Gospel Truth, December the 31st through January the 2nd.
For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.